I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He walks by. You know He's not too busy to hear your cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs He'll supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He walks by. You know He's not too busy to cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs He'll supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Welcome, my friend, to a journey into the Bible. You're listening to the Voice of Hope, a clear message in the noise of life. Whether you're well-versed in the Bible or turning its pages for the first time, we're here with you, learning to follow Jesus, the only hope of salvation, one step at a time. The Voice of Hope is brought to you by Heralds of Hope, where we use media to make disciples of Jesus Christ to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. I'm Anthony High, and I'm here with our Bible teacher, J. Mark Horst. Today, we're studying the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. However, before we get into this week's program, I have an update for you on two new language programs. For the past year, we've been working to find translators and producers for the Dari language of Afghanistan. In the last month, we have finally contracted some translators, a producer, a broadcaster, and a follow-up team. It looks like we'll begin broadcasting to Afghanistan by around July. For the past several years, we've been broadcasting to Afghanistan in the Pashto language. So this will allow us to reach the Dari-speaking people from the same area. The second language we've begun to work on is Pennsylvania German, and this came about when a recent listener called in and requested it. Our plan is to use this translation for our call-in number rather than a traditional radio broadcast. I'm not sure how soon it's going to be available, so keep praying and stay tuned. There is an open door to disciple believers from next door and around the world. Now here's J. Mark to expound on Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43, where Jesus heals the sick and raises the dead.
Years ago, in England, there was a woman by the name of Charlotte Elliot. She was sickly, and she developed a long history of refusing to do things that she was asked to do because of her illness. Her brother was a pastor, and he was particularly persistent in trying to get her to do something positive. But Charlotte always refused. She'd say things like, "I'm not feeling up to it," or "I'm an invalid, you know," or "I just don't think I can." One time, Charlotte's brother was trying to raise funds for a school for young women, and so he asked Charlotte to help. He asked her to go to the event and just do something. But again, she refused. She was too tired and too sick. So the family went off and left her at home alone. While she was alone that night, Charlotte began to think about how her sickness was taking control of her life. She began to feel ashamed because she wouldn't risk anything for the kingdom of God, and she realized that her illness had become the most important thing, and maybe the only thing, in her life. And that night, Charlotte heard the call of God. Out of her restlessness and self-disgust, she wrote these familiar words, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not, just as I am, with many a conflict, many a doubt. Yes, just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, just as I am, I come. Yes, Lord, I'm a mess, but I'm coming." And so in her extremity, Charlotte Elliott was learning a precious lesson that brokenness and the exercise of faith are crucial steps on the way to wholeness. Now, as we resume our study in Mark's Gospel, we come to the account of Jairus' daughter being raised from death to life and the healing of the woman who had a chronic hemorrhage. We can learn valuable lessons about faith and fear as we meditate on this scripture. From the last several scenes in Mark's Gospel, we've seen these themes of fear and faith in Jesus' control over nature and demons. Now we'll see them in his control over sickness and death. So listen carefully as I read Mark chapter 5 and verses 21 to 43. "Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from physicians. She had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.' While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?' As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not be afraid, only believe.' And he permitted no one to follow him, except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and saw a tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, 'Why do you make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping.' And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child, and those who were with him, and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kumi,' which is translated, 'Little girl, I say to you, arise.' Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat." This text clearly illustrates the comparison of faith and fear. As we examine these illustrations, we will better understand Jesus' words, "Don't be afraid, just believe." The first illustration that compares faith and fear is a devoted father. Both Mark and Luke identify Jairus as a ruler of the synagogue. His position would have acquainted him with Jesus, because remember the Gospels tell us that Jesus taught in many of the synagogues of Galilee. Jesus may have spoken more than once in the synagogue where Jairus was the leader. Jairus filled an honorable position. He was most likely prosperous and most likely well-respected in his community. But we also know that not everything about his life was ideal. Luke implies that his only daughter was his only child, and Mark adds the endearing term little, his little daughter. For a Jewish man to have no sons was a great misfortune. Perhaps this misfortune may have made Jairus' daughter even more precious to him. So his little girl is struck with illness, and according to verse 23, her life is slipping away. She's dying. Jairus sought out Jesus as his only hope. Jesus had returned to the western shore of Galilee, and as was typical, a dense crowd was gathered around him. Jairus had to push his way through that crowd in order to get to Jesus. His first visible expression of faith is that he believed Jesus could help meet his need. Now I want us to notice Jairus' attitude and his request. He came to Jesus and he fell at his feet in an act of worship, an act of surrender. He acknowledged his inferiority in the presence of one who was superior. This behavior was highly unusual for a religious leader among the Jews. As he prostrates himself before Jesus, he begs him to come to his house and heal his daughter. Surely he must have heard many reports of the miracles that Jesus had performed for others, and perhaps he even saw some himself. But now his need is personal. I said earlier that brokenness and the exercise of faith are crucial steps on the way to wholeness. I want you to think for a moment about how Jairus could have responded in this situation. He could have been angry and resentful that God would allow his daughter to suffer. After all, wasn't he the leader of the synagogue and a righteous man? What had he done to deserve something like this? You know, that's a question people still ask today, and maybe you've asked it. The common thinking of that day was that sickness was directly related to personal sin. Jesus himself had to disabuse the disciples of that notion more than once. I believe that Jairus could have summoned the best physician in the area. But the practice of medicine at that time wasn't very advanced, and its value was questionable. Plus, we learned that this little girl's life was slipping away rapidly. She needed help, and she needed it now. So in response to Jairus' request, Jesus immediately turns his footsteps toward Jairus' house. Jairus' response illustrates faith that eventually brings wholeness. As we follow the narrative, we see fear enter the picture, and his faith begins to waver. As Jesus heads toward Jairus' house, verse 24, he is thronged by the multitude. They are pressing in on him from every side. In fact, the crowd is so dense that it's hard for Jesus to move, even to breathe. And that detail leads us to the following illustration of the relationship between faith and fear. That illustration is a desperate woman. A simple reading of the text reveals to us a woman with significant physical needs. She has battled chronic bleeding for 12 long years, and her attempts to find a cure have been fruitless. She has spent all her resources on doctors, and none of them can heal her. That alone could have brought her to the point of desperation, but Mark tells us that she did not get better, but only got worse. But you know, there's more to this picture. According to the Levitical law, her constant discharge made her unclean. She couldn't live a normal life. One of the interesting contrasts in this whole account is between the two main characters. The one was the leader of the synagogue, a holy, righteous man. The other was this woman who, in her current condition, could never enter the synagogue, the place of worship. She couldn't fellowship with others because of her uncleanness. She couldn't live in a house with family or other people because everything she touched or used every day became unclean. Through no fault of her own, as far as we can tell, She was relegated to a life of suffering, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Ostracized from the community, she had heard of Jesus and his miracles, and she made sure she was in the crowd that day. Matthew and Mark tell us she believed she would be healed if she could only touch Jesus' clothing. And in that crowd, she saw her chance. She was confident in her healing if she could touch his garments and then slip away unnoticed. In reality, her plan was a desperate one. She should not have been in that crowd because she was unclean. She was not allowed to touch anyone else. And I can only imagine her fear of being discovered. She would undoubtedly have been subject to shame and ridicule if found out, maybe worse. But her faith in Jesus' power to heal her overcame her fear and propelled her forward in that crowd. So from the confines of that densely packed crowd, she reaches out and touches the border of Jesus' garment, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Her faith had healed her. Now, what she did was not noticed by the crowd, but Jesus noticed, because he immediately asked, "Who touched my clothes?" In response, the disciples spoke up, "Master, the crowd is so dense around you, how can you ask, 'Who touched me?'" Here, Mark uses the same word that he used back in verse 24 to describe the crowd's density. It was tightly packed. And in that jostling crowd, others constantly bumped into Jesus and touched him. But Jesus knew that the touch of this woman was different. He knew that power had been released through him. It wasn't that someone had bumped into him or jostled him in the crowd. The wording of the original informs us that the touch and the flow of power occurred simultaneously. Jesus knew the touch was intentional. And he also knew who touched him. So he stopped and looked over the crowd to identify the woman. When she realized that Jesus knew about her, she came forward, trembling in fear, and fell at his feet. And then she did something that I think is very courageous. She humbled herself in front of that whole multitude and plainly stated why she had touched Jesus and how she was instantly healed. What would the crowd say? What would they do to her for her audacity? You know, I believe this woman's healing was not complete until Jesus uttered the words of verse 34. Oh, to be sure, her body was healed, her bleeding had stopped, but like you and me, she was more than body. She was soul and spirit too. And Jesus wanted to heal her physically, spiritually, and emotionally. So he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go into peace and be healed of your affliction." I believe that if she had been able to slink away in the crowd without being confronted by Jesus, she would have missed out on this complete wholeness. But Jesus pronounced his blessing on her, "Go into peace." This woman pushed past her fear, believed in Jesus' power, and was rewarded with complete healing. The final illustration, then, of fear and faith is seen in a doubting father. While Jesus was still speaking to the woman, someone from Jairus' house came and whispered to him, "Your daughter is now dead. Do not disturb the master anymore." Put yourself in Jairus' place. Imagine the impact of those words. His hopes, so high at finding Jesus so quickly, are now dashed. Imagine him thinking, "It's too late. If only the crowd hadn't been so dense. If only Jesus could have moved faster. If only the delay caused by the woman had been avoided. If only." But Jesus overheard the messenger and comforted Jairus. "Don't be afraid. Only believe, and she shall be made whole." Here again, the contrast between fear and faith. Despite what now seems to be a hopeless situation, Jesus is inviting Jairus to exercise faith in him. "Just trust me, and your daughter will be completely restored." Even as Jairus' faith begins to waver, he continues with Jesus toward the house. We can tell that Jairus' faith was weak because of his passivity in the face of this message from home. When he got home, he did nothing to interfere with the mourners, nor did he come to Jesus' defense when that same group of mourners scornfully ridiculed Jesus. It seems that his fear paralyzed him. In his mind, all was lost. His little daughter was dead. Now, a significant amount of time must have passed from when Jairus left home until he finally returned with Jesus, because when he left, his daughter was close to death, and now the house is already filled with relatives and hired mourners and musicians. Whether Jesus delayed intentionally, as he did in the case of Lazarus, we don't know. We do know that whatever Jesus does, he does with a purpose. As they arrive at the crowded house, the girl's father and mother, and Jesus' inner circle of three, are the only ones permitted to enter with him. Amid this grieving, weeping, wailing crowd, Jesus offers the mourners the opportunity to exercise faith in him. He says to them, "Why are you weeping? She isn't dead, but she's sleeping." And they ridiculed him with scorn. Anyone could see that the girl was dead. As I see it, there is one positive aspect of their scorn. It reassures us that the young girl was not sleeping as we understand it, but she was genuinely dead. Then, putting everyone else outside the room where the girl was lying, except for the three disciples and the parents, Jesus took her by the hand and said, "Little girl, arise." With those words, her spirit returned to her body, and she got up from the bed where she had been lying. Presenting the girl to her astonished parents, Jesus told them to give her something to eat and forbade them to tell anyone else what had happened in that inner room. You know, that command seems so absurd. How could you keep this news quiet? But Jesus knew the hearts of the people. He knew they may have immediately proclaimed him the Messiah, and he also knew that couldn't happen without the cross. Now, what about you? Have you discovered the freedom that comes from replacing fear with faith? And no, I don't mean faith in yourself or faith in your faith. True faith begins with accepting Christ's sacrifice as the only adequate payment for your sin. That's the first step of faith, agreeing with God about your sin and his singular provision for your salvation. Because without that first step, you'll never be whole or free from fear. Have you realized God's hand in your life and circumstances? Maybe you've entered a difficult period of life with great faith in Jesus' power to change your situation. But then, like Jairus, it's turning out differently than you expected. Are you beginning to doubt God's promises and question his love for you? Are you fearful of the future? Jesus knew the delay in visiting Jairus' house would result in this little girl's death. But you know, for Jesus, raising the girl from her deathbed was just as easy as raising her from her sickbed. And Jesus knows what will bring the most glory to him and to the Father through your situation. You see, Jesus' desire for you and me is complete wholeness. Now I know that won't happen until we are in his eternal presence, but surely we can have a foretaste of it here if we trust and obey him. Jesus can make you and me whole, even if our situation isn't resolved in the way that we would prefer. So let me urge you today, whatever situation you find yourself in, surrender to the loving hands of Jesus and follow his invitation to Jairus. Don't be afraid. Just believe.
Yeah.
Thank you, J. Mark, for pointing out the three illustrations comparing faith and fear. I certainly find it easy to doubt whether Jesus is capable. I'm human like that. In those times, Jesus' words call to us, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Thank you for joining us today on The Voice of Hope. If you would like to listen to this program again, please visit our website, www.heraldsofhope.org, and look for the title, "Don't Be Afraid, Just Believe." Or you may contact us to get a CD, paper, or digital copy. We would love to hear from you. If you would like to send a gift or note, you may do so through our website, www.heraldsofhope.org, or by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. If you prefer to send a letter or gift by mail, our address is The Voice of Hope, P.O. Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Our phone number is 866-960-0292. As I mentioned at the beginning of the program, we have a call-in number where you can listen to the last three programs. The number for our call-in program is 717-790-5503. I invite you to connect with us on Facebook, on Instagram, YouTube, or Spotify by searching for Heralds of Hope. Your prayers are needful, and your financial gifts are always welcome. You can learn more about Heralds of Hope and how we can be your channel to share the Word of God to a place you cannot visit and in a language you do not speak by visiting our website, www.heraldsofhope.org. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and generous financial support, will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Be sure to join us next time for The Voice of Hope.
Be not dismayed, whatever.